I thank you for the effort and time and sweat my brother Alvin has placed into this message this morning. You know what you want to say through him. And I pray that you would speak loud and clear, dear Lord. I pray that you would anoint his lips. May his mind be able to think clearly and to able to verbalize appropriately what he has in his heart, what he would want to say. And may we receive it all with glory, with praise to you and thanksgiving, and apply to our hearts what we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Well, good morning. At the beginning of this year, we started something that kind of got dropped along the way, and that's our attempt at a 24-hour prayer and fasting time for the whole church. And I would like to renew that again. We've got important decisions coming up for the church in the next little bit, and if for no other time this next week, I would love to see almost a 24-hour every day this week filled up until next weekend of a time where somebody's always praying and fasting for what's going to be on next Sunday. So I'm just going to pass this around. Hopefully there's enough of pens and pencils out there. Please take your time to fill in a spot. Make sure that there's spots, all the spots are filled in, and I'm sure God will bless us for that. I'm sure that's why some of the things have been happening this year. God has been cleansing us as a church, and I think we're coming out stronger for it. So thank you for that. This morning I've entitled the message, "So You Want to See God." I'm working on an assumption here that would be all of our desires. Would that be a true statement? Everybody here would like to see God? Some of you, yeah. Others kind of aren't sure. I would hope that is 100% a desire of everybody's heart here. But if we want to see God, who is holy and righteous, surely there's got to be a requirement. Now, I want somebody to look up Matthew 5, chapter 5, verse 8, real quickly here. Somebody look up Matthew 5, 8. And when you get it, just read it out loud. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's not working. I should give up electronics. Okay, there it is. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Does that verse leave any doubt in your mind what has to happen to your heart to be able to see God? Is there any question? There's no question. The Bible is very clear. Blessed are the pure in heart. You have to have a pure heart if you're going to see God. Well, if you still have any doubt, let's look at Psalm 24. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4 says, "Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord?" Or who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may approach God? Who is it that can see God? It says, "Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a what? And a pure heart." There it is again. Old Testament, New Testament. Requirements the same in both Testaments. Would you agree with me now that the Bible is very clear in its requirements to see God? Still not sure. If it's yes, it's this way. If no, it's this way. Good. We got that straight. Yes, the Bible is very clear that if we want to see God, we have to have a pure heart. Now, brothers and sisters, as I was contemplating this, I ran across a verse that really kind of troubled me, because there's a problem. Switch to the next screen. There we go. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond a cure. Who can stand it?" So on the one hand, we have a requirement of a pure, holy, righteous God to have a pure heart if we're going to stand in his presence. And on the other hand, we have Jeremiah who says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond a cure. Who can understand it? Who wants to reconcile those two for me? Nobody's jumping at the chance. Well, the Bible does say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What a wonderful thought. That even though my heart is deceitful above anything else and beyond a cure, that the Bible still makes a way that I can see God. That you can see God. That as imperfect people as we are, we have the right and we have the ability to stand before God as pure and as holy and as righteous as He is. Is that your desire this morning? Some of you still aren't sure. Is that your desire this morning, to see God? Well, maybe we ought to do a raise of hands. Who has a pure heart? Now we're not so sure. Well, let me tell you, people, we better get sure, because in the absence of a pure heart, we're not going to see Him. So we better figure out what this thing is of a pure heart. Because God desires our relationship with Him. See, God desires that we have a pure heart. 1 Thessalonians 4:7 says, for God did not call us to be impure, but to be, depends which version you read, to be pure or to live a holy life. See, God didn't call us to be impure. God called us to be pure. When God created us, He created us to be pure in heart. Because why? His desire is that we have koinonia. We have fellowship. We have a partnership, a close partnership with God. That's what God wants with His created beings. But if we're going to have koinonia, if we're going to have fellowship with a holy, righteous God, we're going to have to figure this thing out. We're going to have to figure out the... we're going to have to reconcile these two verses. What is the definition of pure? Well, I went to Webster's, and Webster says this. Webster says, it's free from foreign matter, contamination, or corruption. Now, to make a point, I'd like to have a volunteer this morning. Can be anybody, tall, small, big, young, old. Joel. Now, those two things have water in them, correct? Okay. Which one would you say is pure water? Would you take a drink from it? Okay. Now, that's pure water, or as pure as we get out of the tap. Would you like to take a drink out of this one?
Not so much.
Why not?
Because I can't see what's in it.
Sure you can. It's a clear... I can tell you what's in it. I went out... I have a pig. Enough said? Okay. You didn't have a problem take... You want to smell it? Now, let me just do something here. If I take just a little bit of that, and I put 1, 2, 3, 4 drops in there. Take another drink. Why don't you want to drink it again? It's not pure anymore. Now, if that was your life, you saw me, I just put like 3 or 4 tiny little drops. You can sit down again. Thank you, Joel. If that was your life, we obviously know that God wants nothing to do with this one. Is that correct? What about this one? It's fairly clean. I mean, you can't even see, barely. I shouldn't have got something that was quite so contaminated. I mean, it looks clear, right? It looks good. If you wouldn't have seen me put that in there, you'd probably drink it right down. Well, if that was your life, with just a little bit of impurity in it, do you think God accepts that? No. God says, blessed are the pure in heart, because they're going to see God. God doesn't accept any little impurity. Okay, so we got down what impure is. Well, the biblical word, or the biblical definition for this Greek word, ketheros, is a meaning that means to cleanse, a continuing cleansing of one's mind and emotions. And biblical scholars suggest that this word has two meanings at the same time. Number one is to pure by cleansing from filth. It means to make clean, a continue. It'd be like running this water through a filter. It's a cleaning of something. Pure by cleansing from filth or contamination, like metal being refined by fire until they are free from impurities. And the second meaning is it refers to being unmixed. See, we could take... we're going to have to throw this pen away when I'm done. See, that's all mixed in there. You can't see it anymore. It means being unmixed with any impurities or having no double allegiance. Having no double allegiance. We can't pledge allegiance to the flag and pledge allegiance to God at the same time. That's a double allegiance. Here's a quote by Warren Wiersbe. It says, the basic idea of this word, pure, is the idea of integrity, the idea of singleness of heart as opposed to duplicity or a divided heart or divided allegiance or a double allegiance. Purity isn't just being clean. It's not just being clean, but it's being single-minded and intentionally focused. In this instance, God wants us to be focused on Him and His righteousness. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now, if you take those two definitions and put them together, those two definitions as I gave them, put them together, purity is an ongoing cleansing done by the Holy Spirit in a person who is focused entirely on God. Did you catch that? Purity is an ongoing cleansing done by the Holy Spirit in a person who is focused entirely on God. Now, that we know what pure means, what is it that should be pure? What is it that verse says should be pure? The heart. Notice that Jesus didn't say, blessed are the pure, meaning the person. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. If he said, blessed are the pure, he would mean that this body would be pure. This mind would be pure. That's, since the fall of Adam, since the fall of mankind, that's an impossibility. It's impossible for this body and this mind to be pure. But Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. You see, the heart is what God wants. It's your heart that God wants. It's your heart that God is concerned with. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16:7 says, among other things at the beginning, it says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. What does the Bible mean when it says the heart? Is it looking at my physical heart in there beating? No, that's not what God means. The word heart comes from the word cardia, which we get our word cardiac for you medical types. And it's used metaphorically. It's used to signify the inner person. The heart, as used in the Bible, is a control center. It's a control center of the person's mind. It's a control center of the person's emotion. It's a control center of the person's will. Notice I didn't drink out of that one. It is a control center of the person's mind, emotion, and will. It is our invisible innermost being. It's that which shapes our lives, our attitudes, our convictions, and it ultimately controls our actions. It is the seat of who we are. It refers to the whole person. That's what the heart's talking about. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As water reflects the face, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man." And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." See, your heart, as it's used in the Bible, is who you are. It's the very seat of your character. It is what takes what happens to you in life and decides how you're going to respond to it. It is what drives your life. And so, people, I submit to you this morning that it matters not so much at how you talk. You can quote the Bible from cover to cover. You can pray the most flowery prayers. And you can hallelujah and praise the Lord and amen all day long. And it doesn't matter one little bit if what you do and how you treat others and how you conduct your life does not line up with God's word. Doesn't matter one little bit if it doesn't line up with God's word. It's a waste of time. In fact, it doesn't even matter so much what you wear. You can have the biggest covering. You can have the most modest clothes. You can say all the right things. You can do all the right things. And you can still be going directly to hell. The only thing that's different is that you're going to go there looking nice. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 7, 20, verses 20 to 23. This is a passage of Scripture. I'd like to read the whole passage, but I'm not going to. But this is the whole passage of Scripture where the religious people of that day were condemning Jesus and his disciples for eating without washing their hands. And here's one thing that Jesus said earlier than these verses said. These people, first he called them hypocrites. Wouldn't you like to do that to people sometimes? You hypocrite. But he says, "You hypocrites. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." And then verses 20 to 23 says this. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean." See, it's from the inside. What comes out that makes you dirty. It's from within. Out of a man's heart that come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from where? Come from inside. It comes from a heart that's not pure. You see, people, we have a heart problem. And we can make whatever excuses we wish to protect our pet sins. And worldly attitudes. As we can see in Mark, in that passage I read, if you read earlier, all the Pharisees' excuses. We can make all these excuses to excuse our pet sins, but none of these excuses are going to stand up in the face of God's holiness. God will never accept anything less than total purity within you and me. But you see, people, we're our own worst enemy. If you read Proverbs 30:12, you'd see these words, says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, yet they are not washed from their filthiness." He's saying there's a generation of people that think they're pure. Does that describe anybody you know who think they're on the right track, but their lives definitely don't line up with the Scripture? But in their minds, they're okay. It says, there's a generation of people that are pure in their own eyes, yet they're not washed from their filthiness. You see, people, the problem of sin is not the world around us, but the world inside us. We don't sin because of our surroundings. We sin because of what's in our hearts. You can live in the most decrepit part of the world and still be pure because it shouldn't make any difference what's going on around you. It shouldn't make a difference to the way you act or your relationship or your heart. But all too often we're blinded by our own sin. Dear church, for far too long we as a people have focused on getting the outside right. We know how to walk. We know how to talk. We know how to say all the right things. We know how to dress. We know how to do all these things so people think we're okay. And we can go all through life having sin hidden in our hearts and nobody knowing it, because we know how to look right and we know how to talk right and say the right things. I'm not talking against the way we act and dress. I think it's biblical. It's okay. But people, I want to know who you are Monday morning when you smash your finger with a hammer. I want to know who you are when you sit alone in your room in front of the computer online. I want to know who you are when you go on a trip and you're alone in a motel room. I want to know who you are when you do your taxes. I want to know who you are when no one is watching. Because that's the person God is concerned with. God is not concerned with you, what you look like this morning. Turn with me over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 5, verses 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is what? Light. Pure. In him there is no sin. Darkness. If we claim to have fellowship or koinonia with him and yet walk in darkness, if we live in sin, we lie, and where do liars go? I hope we know the answer to that. Yes. And we live not by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have koinonia with who? Who? Is that what your Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? What does King James say? I didn't even look. One with another. Now you would think that if you walk in the light as God is in the light, that the Bible would say you have fellowship with him. I'm sorry, I don't mean to make you feel bad, because that would have been my first reaction. But it says, if you walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You see, people, when we walk in darkness and have sin in our hearts, we can have fellowship with one another. We can come to church week after week after week and not have koinonia. Did you ever think about that? That when there's sin in the camp, that there is no fellowship with one another? Ouch. That was free. I don't know where that came from. Where was I? Yes, one another. And the blood of Jesus, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And then the blood of Jesus, his son, does what? He purifies us. Isn't that neat? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we're going to have fellowship with one another, and then the blood of, only then, the blood of Jesus is going to purify us from all unrighteousness. Wow, hallelujah. If we confess our sins, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we say what's inside our hearts, and we agree with God and we speak that, he's going to be faithful and just and will forgive us from our sins. It's that simple. It's that simple. He will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And then he just reiterates at the last there. It says, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar. Now, we could say that's for the people that haven't accepted Jesus, but I'd say that's baloney because 1 John was written to the Christians. Proverbs, again, is full of advice and insights. Ask this question. How can a young man, Proverbs 30:119:9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? And the last part of that verse simply answers the question. By living according to your word. Pretty simple. How can you keep your way pure? Remember early on, this quandary? Yes, your heart is deceitfully wicked, as is mine. But the Bible says you can be pure by living according to his word. I think there's a period at the end of that verse. How can we keep our hearts pure? It's a pretty simplistic answer found in the last part of that verse, by living according to God's word. The problem with many of us is that we want not to live by the word of God. The problem, people, with many of us, that we want to follow our own hearts. Now, isn't that a phrase that you hear a lot about these days? Just follow your heart. Or am I the only one that hears that? You hear that? Just follow your heart. See, Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Where's your heart going to lead you? Don't follow your heart. That's from the devil. The devil wants you to follow your heart because he knows our hearts. Our hearts cannot be trusted. People, the only way to reach and maintain purity is by taking this word. You got to do something with it. You got to read it. You got to study it. And then you got to live it. That's the only way to reach and maintain a pure heart. As we saw in Psalms 119. It wasn't Proverbs 119, if that's what I said. I didn't think Proverbs goes up to 119 chapters. But that's not the only place that the Bible talks about that. 1 Peter 1:22 says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. What is truth? What is truth? God's word. Is anything else truth? No. This is truth. So, now that you have purified yourselves, now that you have believed the Bible and have read it and know what it says, now you have purified yourselves by obeying that truth. And then it goes on and adds a little bit what 1 John said. So that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. See, people, I think the big problem in our lives, speaking for myself, and if it fits you, that's great. Or I don't know if it's great or not, but see, we take things, for different people it's different things, but we take things and we set them up on the throne of our hearts. Whatever that is. See, we don't let Jesus be the Lord of our life. See, we're happy with the modern day theory of praying the sinner's prayer and leaving it at that. But several weeks ago on a Thursday morning, about half a dozen of us sat downstairs and we spent almost an hour on a half of a verse in 1 Peter 3, chapter 15, or verse 15, that I think speaks to the whole issue of our hearts being impure. The first part of that verse simply says, "But set apart in your hearts Christ as Lord." Now, if something's Lord, that means something is your master. And if Jesus is Lord of your heart, if you've set him apart in your heart as Lord, he's going to be your master. And what's going to happen to all these other things that have been on the master of your heart? They're going to fade away. See, and we've got to get back to where we set apart in our hearts Christ as Lord. That's what it's going to take to get a pure heart. Plain and simple. So, you say you want to see God. Would you like to see God work in your life now? Right now. See, I think that verse is talking about more than just future tense. I think if you get a pure heart, if your heart is pure now, you're going to see God work in your life. You will see God unmistakably, without question, reveal himself in a very real way in your life. That's what I want. And I pray that's what you want too. I wonder what God would do with this church, or through this church, if 100% of us would decide in our hearts to set Christ apart as Lord. What would happen to this church if we would let Christ purify our hearts? I wonder. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, I didn't talk about that word blessed, but in simplistic terms, the way I like to speak is contented. It means contented. Is that you? Contented are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I stand before you today as someone that struggles with this. But my desire is often to follow my heart. See, I want to do what Elvin wants to do. That's what I often want to do, instead of follow what God wants me to do. But I also stand before you this morning, ready to renew my desire for a pure heart. And I'm willing to fight for that. Are you? Psalm 51, 10 to 12 says, "Create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and hold me with your willing spirit." I've asked the team to come up and lead that for us this morning. And as they lead, I want everybody to stand, and I want you to bow your heads. And I want you to let God speak to you about the purity of your heart. I think this song is familiar enough that you don't need to look at the screen. So just bow your heads and let God speak to you through these words. And ask yourself the question where your heart is.
Created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within. Right spirit within me.
We're going to sing one more song, and it's just going to be a song of invitation. If you would like to stand with me and renew your desire to have God purify your heart, to have a pure heart, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hands as we're singing this song. And then I'll pray for you when we're finished. God in heaven, you've been so good to us. God, you're speaking to our hearts, and I invite you to keep speaking to our hearts. God, you've seen the hands that were raised this morning. God, I don't remember them all, but you do. And unlike me, you can see directly into each heart. And you can know the desires of that person's heart this morning. So God, I ask that you, through your Holy Spirit, come and you fill the need of that heart. God, would you show us how to live a life that is pure, that is holy and righteous? Because we agree with your word in Matthew 5:8. Or we long for that, to see you. And so God, don't stop the work that's been started here. And we commit it to you. God, would you bless these people this week as they go from here, as they carry your love out of here into the world, that each person may come into contact somebody this week to share your love with, God. That's a lot of people. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.